prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Once again, we have a fast-paced show delivering lots of great content to help you make decisions that will change your life for the better. During the first half hour, we'll be joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, to do an episode of Science for Humans, the top 8 food allergens. Important discussion. A lot of people are paying a lot of money for food allergy tests. If you don't want to do that, you may just want to start looking at these 8 and getting them out of your diet. Then to stay kind of in the same groove, we're going to be joined by Dr. Maria Fernandez, a returning guest on the show, to talk about the inflammatory effects of eggs versus oatmeal, which one causes more inflammation. And then we're going to talk about forensic analysis of microbial interactions between humans and their environments with Dr. Jack Gilbert. The discussion continues about the microbes that we live with and that actually live with us. Of course, I want to always give credit to our title sponsor, All-American EFX Sports. Right now, you can get a discount on VitaDrive, which is a multivitamin made for hard training athletes. If you use the coupon code DRJEFF, Dr. Jeff, you'll save $16 off a bottle of VitaDrive. It's a great foundational supplement to use as the basis, as a starting point for your other vitamin and mineral supplements. And saving $16 off a bottle, getting it for $5.95, is a ridiculously cheap price. Go to any of the banner ads at superhumanradio.com and get over to All-American EFX Sports and just look for VitaDrive. Use the coupon code DRJEFF, Dr. Jeff, and save. And on that note,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
He is here in the flesh, not just in spirit, and that is Dr. Jeff. How you doing, Dr. Jeff?
I'm doing good, Carl. How are you doing today?
Good, very good. I'm jazzed. This is my second day of a fast.
Nice.
I know, but I've made a concoction, Dr. Jeff, made with coconut oil and essential amino acids that I blended together, and I'm eating 2 tablespoons every 4 to 5 hours to keep the ketone bodies active in my bloodstream and keep some semblance of leucine in my bloodstream, hopefully to influence protein synthesis, at least not becoming catabolic, but allowing me to fast under 500 calories a day.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, man. On a little bit one, not quite as dramatic as you, but after last week's show, I got to thinking about gluten, and I thought, you know, I'm going to try to go gluten-free and see if I feel better.
So what's the prognosis so far?
You know what? I have, for the last several years, every time I eat, my stomach is bloated all the time.
Bingo.
So that's the first thing that happened, disappeared like a day later, was that bloat just disappeared. And a whole lot of other little symptoms that I wasn't really sure where they were coming from, I think was coming from gluten. So I'm gonna try it for 60 days. But so far, I'm keeping it out.
I'm going to send you something. We just got a gluten-free pasta and gluten-free pizza dough from somebody who wants to become a sponsor on the show. We're going to be checking it out because, you know, it's hard to give up gluten when you're Italian. I mean, semolina flour is high in gluten. Right?
That was the first thing I told my wife. I said, you know, I had a great show. Did you listen? And she always goes, no, tell me about it. And I said, well, I think I might have a gluten intolerance. And she's like, well, what am I going to make? I said, well, it's kind of like a bodybuilding diet, you know, no breads, no muffins.
Yeah. I mean, but this is exciting, isn't it? Look at this. You did a show that benefited other people and it's helping you too.
Absolutely. I mean, the more I have been researching this whole allergy thing, it's pretty interesting and it's pretty amazing, you know, how we can self-diagnose ourselves. I mean, you know, nothing against doctors and allergists, you know, God bless them. But a lot of times it's trial and error, you know, and us being ex-athletes, you know, we've always listened to our body. So if you just really take a listen to what it's trying to say, you can figure out a whole lot of stuff.
So on that note, there are 8 food allergens that are really the worst offenders out there. So why don't we go through the list and talk about them?
Okay. Well, here's the big eight, as the FDA calls them. The first one, and not in any particular order, is milk. And, you know, keep in mind, all of these allergens come from the proteins that are present, in these particular food groups. Milk can be a potentially deadly, allergic reaction to some people. Not most, but 2 to 5% of all children develop a milk allergy in the first year of life. So milk is a big one, you know, because boy, it is in so many foods. As we were talking about last week, you know, when you go out to eat or you buy pre-cooked or processed foods, I mean, look at the list of ingredients.
Yeah. It's just shocking. And you know, we should also say that the milk we're talking about is conventionally produced milk, from cows that produce a high degree of beta to, casein, which has been one of the offending proteins that we've discovered that is found in high amounts in the types of cows that commercial milk producers produce. If you're buying raw unpasteurized milk from Jerseys, you do not find this, casein, by the way. And obviously they're eating grass. So milk is one of the big ones. What else?
So milk is probably the top of the list. Next comes, eggs. You know, a lot of kids, have food allergies, to eggs. Usually they outgrow them. And you gotta look at the label because the labels of things don't always say egg. You know, sometimes they say egg white or dried eggs or albumin.
Ah.
So a little sneaky, you know. I don't know if they do it on purpose or, what, but, you know, most people, if they saw albumin, wouldn't realize that's egg, you know, just another name for it.
Right.
Another big one is, peanuts. You know, we're talking about just a regular peanut. Up to 20% of children are diagnosed with peanut allergies. So it's a pretty big one. Most of the times they do outgrow it, but peanuts can really cause severe, allergic reactions. To anyone out there who has a peanut reaction, they know, they're usually, prescribed to carry like an EpiPen all the time with them.
Right. And if those EpiPens are so popular now, they're advertising them on TV now. They have a new one that is a multi-injection EpiPen that you don't even have to take the pants off. You just stick it in the thigh area and it pierces whatever you're wearing and gets into the leg.
And it gives you instructions along the way, so it really, really makes it easy on that standpoint. So if you're prescribed that, make sure you carry that. There's a reason why your doctor would have given that to you. Tree nuts is next. Tree nuts are every other nut, almonds, cashews, macadamias, things of that nature. Fish, some people have allergies more to the scaly and bony fish, like cod, haddock, you know, halibut, mackerel,
salmon. I never knew that one. That's amazing.
Yeah, fish is one of them. Not, you know, I don't think it's the most common one, but people do. Shellfish is one that you hear a lot about.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, there are two categories of shellfish. So most people, you know, think of the crustaceans like, you know, lobsters, crayfish, shrimp, but mollusks are also under that shellfish.
Clams.
So, you know, oysters.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a guy in my neighborhood who died from eating raw clams, and it's a histamine response that is stimulated.
Yeah.
And he died of anaphylactic shock. No one knew what was going on. His lips swelled up and his throat closed up and he basically asphyxiated.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that's the worst thing that can happen. The other is soybeans, soy. And again, soy is really a difficult one because so many foods that are processed, you know, have soy in them. And of course, we talked about last week, gluten, which is, wheat is the last one on the list. And wheat is in most everything. You know, if it says modified food starch, it's wheat. If it says farina, if it says flour, it probably is wheat. A lot of times they even say starch and that's from wheat.
That's tricky.
So, yeah. So those are kind of the big eight. You know, I think if you think you have some allergy or some symptoms, you know, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the symptoms. We're going to talk about, you know, what goes on inside the body. But, you know, some of the most common symptoms that aren't fatal, that if you have a food allergy, tingling or itching, usually in the mouth. Some people get hives. I've seen people just turn bright red. My daughter had food allergies. And she would just get bright red. swelling of the lips, tongue, throat, you know, parts of the body. Some people have nasal congestion, trouble breathing, wheezing. Some people get abdominal pains, diarrhea, nausea, or vomiting, dizziness, lightheadedness, fainting. Those are all very common symptoms to food allergies. So if you have those, you may well have a food allergy.
Well, let me tell you what I discovered I'm allergic to. You're
What's
not going to believe this when I tell you, honey. Now,
this is,
okay, so I put honey in my oatmeal and it doesn't bother me. But if I take a tablespoon of honey and put it in my mouth and swallow it, I immediately get a tickling sensation in my throat that causes me to start to cough. It's like a spontaneous reaction. And then within minutes, my nose fills up and I have to blow my nose continuously for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And it finally dawned on me one day when I was home that I put a tablespoon of honey in my mouth and I ate it and I had this sensation immediately. And I said to Elisa, I guess I've been ignoring it because I love honey so much, but I'm allergic to honey.
Interesting, because, you know, some people, like I believe that if you eat the local honey because of the pollens and things, that it does help, you know, with kind of those seasonal allergies. But it does make sense that, you know, there is a lot of things in there that you could be allergic to. But, you know, something else, there is one of the symptoms. It's called cross reactivity between pollens, fruits and vegetables and things. So, you know, there could be some of this cross-reactivity happening, or could just be something that is in the honey that you're using.
Yes, and so this was Manuka honey that we bought at Trader Joe's that I discovered this. I have yet to try some fresh local honey that I'll get at the farmer's market and see if it happens. And you're right. It could be honey from different regions that have the presence of certain types of pollens, and I could just be allergic to the pollen accumulation in that honey.
But so, the other thing is, you know, honey doesn't mean all honey. I can't remember the exact ruling.
Yeah, you're so right about this. They're cutting it with corn syrup and everything
now. Corn syrup, and I mean, you know, could there be some other, you know, starch or something that you're actually allergic to? I mean, the only time you can really trust honey is if you find a beekeeper in your area and you go over there and you get a bucket or, you know, a bottle, a little honey bear full.
This is a good point. And what I want to do is I want to go ahead and take our break now. When we come back, I want to talk about if you discover that you are allergic to something. There's a lot of different allergies. There's those that show up quickly, like my experience with the honey. But there's the two different immune systems at work, the IgA and the IgG. And the IgG, quite often, the reaction may not show up for up to a day. So it takes a little more time and a little more skill to track this. But I want to take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the 8 food allergens out there that people need to be aware of. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you tried Carvelin yet?
It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carvelin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carvelin is the answer. Carvelin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carvelin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarvelin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarvelin.com. GetCarvelin.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it. The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's ultimate stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Gallini. And we're talking about the food allergens, the 8 most popular foods that people develop or are allergic to. And as you were pointing out, Dr. Jeff, that the anaphylactic shock is more of an acute response to something that you're allergic to, correct?
Correct.
But there can be a delayed response. So you have 3 different immune system functions, and I'm not going to pretend to know which does what. IgG, IgE, and IgA. I think IgG is the one that creates mucus in order to sequester things that the body doesn't like having around. And I believe the IgE is the acquired or learned immune response. So as you come in contact with things like people who are allergic to peanuts, they'll eat peanuts one time. Nothing happens. The second or third time, they end up with anaphylactic shock. And so this is the part of the immune system that's learning from the environment. And quite often, the response is not acute. You don't go, oh, I just ate peanuts and I can't breathe, where you could put two and two together and go, oh, I'm allergic to peanuts, like I did with honey. Quite often, you'll eat something and you'll feel lousy the next day. And it's a lot harder to connect the dots unless you're paying attention. And this is why diets like the elimination diet, when you do an elimination diet, these 8 food allergens that you just listed, Dr. Jeff, the naturopaths that do the elimination diet, these are off limits. You can't have any of these. And then you introduce, after you live without them for 2 to 4 weeks, which most people go, oh, I feel great, but you don't know why yet. Then they reintroduce them one at a time.
Right.
And then you go, you know, I ate bread yesterday. I didn't end up with anaphylactic shock, but the next day my knees hurt me. I felt like I was running a fever. I just didn't feel good. So you really have to pay attention. If you think you have an allergic reaction to food, it's not always going to just make your lips swell up where somebody goes, wow, you just ate something and it's affecting you. You have to be a little more in tune with your body, don't you?
Well, you do, you know, and there, I mean, like you said, sometimes you will eat something for the first time and your body will produce these immunoglobulins, right, which neutralize that. But now your body remembers. So the next time that allergen is introduced, it's going to react immediately. So that's why sometimes you will feel it quicker. But there's also what's called exercise-induced food allergies, which this really throws a whole wrench in the system, is exercise actually triggers that allergy. So you can eat that allergen and have no problems, but if you then go exercise will start the process.
Well, but this makes sense. You know why? Hard-training athletes have impaired immune function. Guess what else hard training athletes develop? They're more prone to gut disorders. And mm-hmm. that's because the immune system resides in the gut. So if you have an immune response issue, you generally also have gut issues. And the harder you train, if you don't supplement with additional glutamine, this is my assumption, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Glutamine is the most abundant amino acid in the body. It also has been shown to play a pivotal role in the mucosal lining of the stomach that keeps the immune system functioning properly and protected in the stomach. The harder you train, the more the demand for glutamine goes to repairing skeletal muscle tissue. It's taken away from the stomach. And this is my own two cents on why hard training athletes borderline on immune issues and gut issues, because they are not supplementing with glutamine for the extra need. You need some for your stomach. Look, if you have an alternator, it's putting out 16 volts, 12 to repower the battery and the rest to help power the car.
Absolutely. I think that's probably a good analogy on what you do need. And you know, another thing too is, as we were talking about these reactive pollens. So, you know, people who are sensitive to pollens or have allergies, for instance, if you have a birch pollen, you will get a reaction or could get a reaction from apples, carrots, celery. So different pollens cause different reactions with different fruits and vegetables. That one I didn't know about, that I just came across from the Mayo Clinic.
I wonder if that's what's happening to me with honey.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because depending on, you know, what is in there, but it's interesting that it's, you know, the fruits and vegetables that you do have that reaction. The good news is, Carl, there's a lot of natural antihistamine type herbs out there that, you know, people in the world have been using for thousands of years that, you know, seem to be pretty effective if you don't want to go, you know, with the drug antihistamines.
Claritin or something. Yeah, so what are they, Dr. Jeff?
There is a whole list. I was actually thinking I need to put this list together, and we need to put it on the site there so people could actually look. But a couple of them that I really liked, basil. Maybe that's why Italians never get sick. I don't know.
<That's funny. laughs>
But that is actually one of the best antihistamine herbs. It has a history for, you know, helping stomach cramps, constipation. You know, they've been using it for probably thousands of years. Chamomile is another good one. Stinging needle, which is interesting because if you actually touch the hairs on a stinging needle, that will put histamine into your system. But if you drink it as a tea, it works as an antihistamine.
I'll be darned.
Things like echinacea, vitamin C, you know, thyme, just really common herbs, fennel, nothing that's really exotic. As a matter of fact, I saw a study that said vitamin C is probably one of the best natural antihistamines used in high doses, dosages, like 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams.
You know, One that's not an herb but does work is methylsulfamethane, and it's thought that the addition of the sulfate, which body uses sulfur to help balance the immune system, and it's thought that we don't get enough sulfur in our diet any longer. That's one that it can actually help you with seasonal allergies, springtime type allergies. Interesting. So antihistamines in general can help ward this stuff off, but it's better not to eat these foods, right?
You know, it is. And I mean, obviously that's a whole lot of foods, and you really need to go on a clean diet, because I was thinking, just from the gluten standpoint, asking people, is something gluten-free? They don't have a clue. I went in the Subway and said, do you have anything gluten-free? And she's like, huh?
Yeah, right.
Like, okay, well, you don't.
Yeah, right. If you don't know what it is, forget about it. That's funny, because right now the gluten-free market is booming. And even things that we know don't have gluten in them, they are promoting as gluten-free. And it's really funny to me, because Elisa and I went to a restaurant one day, and she ordered chicken. And the waiter said, do you want the gluten-free chicken? Because their whole MO is everything on the menu is gluten-free. And I looked at him and I said, what kind of chicken has gluten? He goes, well, I don't know. He goes, but we're supposed to tell you that it's gluten-free. I said, okay, thanks a lot. I guess the water was gluten-free too, right?
There is. And, you know, it's easy to go into the health food store because they have a whole gluten-free section. But I went in the regular grocery store and I walked around because I thought, okay, you know, the health food store has cornflakes, which corn is gluten-free. I wonder what the regular store does. And of course, none of the generics say gluten-free, but some of the national brands are now saying gluten-free. But you got to look at the labels. I mean, just looking at these allergens, I was looking at some cans of soup. They probably contain all of these allergens. I mean, you wouldn't think things like peanuts could be in soup, but they are. You know, there is all kinds of things that they throw into some of these processed foods, you know.
You know, and another thing to consider, and this actually is a great segue into the next interview, and that is, when you have an immune response to a food, you also are increasing chronic inflammation. And anytime you can reduce chronic inflammation, you are doing your body some great things. So it's really important that if you suspect that one of these eight foods we just listed, milk, eggs, peanuts, tree nuts, fish, shellfish, soy, or wheat, are causing you any type of allergic reaction, it would do you well to eliminate them from your diet and do a short experiment like Dr. Jeff did with gluten.
It's not that difficult. You know, I mean, it's easy to eliminate those. But, you know, these, like you said, these can not only be life-threatening, but they're just irritants. I mean, you know, who wants to be tingling or red or itching all the time? You know, just eliminate those from your diet. You know, maybe you used to be able to eat them, but sometimes the older we get, we develop some of these allergens.
Exactly.
It's just time to cut them out. Like we said last week, things that you're allergic to are usually things that you're addicted to. So if it's tough to get rid of it, you probably are allergic to it.
That is such a good point, and we need to end the interview on that note there. And this was a great, great, great show, Dr. Jeff. I think we're going to help a lot of people with this. Thanks so much for being on the air today.
You're welcome. Take care.
See you next week. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking about eggs versus oatmeal for breakfast. Which one increases inflammation and cardiometabolic risk factors, especially in diabetic patients? It's going to be a really good discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carbolin yet?
It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. G
GetKarbolyn.com.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
50.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. 50. Lots of discussion about what to eat for breakfast in the morning. We know that some foods are better than others. We're always looking at things like inflammation and cardiometabolic risk factors, especially in people who have type 2 diabetes. My next guest is Dr. Maria Fernandez, and she is with the University of Connecticut. How are you doing, Dr. Fernandez?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. So, before we get into the details of the study, explain what questions were you and your colleagues trying to answer in this particular study?
Okay, I have been working with eggs for a long time, since 2000, because I have shown in different studies that they do not raise the risk for heart disease in healthy populations. Then recently I did a study with people with metabolic syndrome who are more at risk for heart disease and diabetes, and again we showed that eggs did not increase the risk, but instead they seem to have some good outcome for these individuals. And so because there's a lot of controversy in the literature about diabetic people, we wanted to try now diabetic patients and see how they would respond to eating an egg daily for 5 weeks. And so we wanted to compare that with a healthy breakfast or something that is considered healthy, and so we chose oatmeal, and that's how we came out to doing the study.
Okay, now let's cover a couple things. Let's go back in time. For a long time, eggs have been demonized as causing inflammation because they have a high amount of cholesterol and fat, and it has been thought that these two components would stimulate an inflammatory response, correct?
Yeah, there's a... You know, when you read the literature, these studies were done in animals,
uh-huh.
and they were done with huge amounts of dietary cholesterol, something that a human being would never consume. And so because this dietary cholesterol caused inflammation, then they extrapolated to eggs because eggs are a source of cholesterol. But first of all, the studies were done in animals,
some of those animals were herbivores, like rabbits, which they don't even get cholesterol in their diet as a rule.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so, but the main thing was that when you look at an egg is a lot more than just dietary cholesterol.
Right.
And people have to be aware that eggs contain two very potent antioxidants who also protect against inflammation. And those are the carotenoids, lutein and zeaxanthin.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that give the color to the yolk, the yellow color.
Mm-hmm.
So they are present in the yolk, not in the white. It's in the yolk where they are localized. And we have shown that they decrease inflammation.
And this is a little bit of farm information, but hens that lay eggs in the presence of a rooster or that are fertilized eggs have a much higher lecithin content, which has been shown to shuttle the cholesterol, the excess cholesterol, out of the body anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know that information, but it's interesting.
Yeah,
have lecithin.
Yes, I used to buy fertilized chicken eggs, but more so because of the follistatin, which has been shown to influence myostatin. But fertilized chicken eggs is all we used to eat back in the days before commercial egg production. But okay, that's another story. So you compared it to oatmeal, which everybody feels, oh, oatmeal is so healthy. It's a cereal grain. It's good for you for breakfast. And what was the outcome of the research? Well, first of all, describe the study. Describe the design of the study.
Yeah, I think it's important to describe the study because this is a crossover study. That means that the same people who ate the eggs also ate the oatmeal. So we are comparing each individual against himself or herself, which gives us a lot of statistical power, and it gives us also a much better information.
Right.
So what we do with the study, we randomly allocated the people to eat either one egg per day or one bowl of oatmeal per day for 5 weeks.
Okay.
After the 5 weeks, they would go into a washout period in which they were not supposed to eat either eggs or oatmeal, and then we switched them over to the alternate breakfast. They were taking this for breakfast.
This is a great way to do
a study. We provided the eggs, and we provided the oatmeal.
And this is a great way to do the study because it also shows that there are no other confounding factors that can't be calculated, like polymorphisms and so on, taking place because everybody gets a chance to eat each of the breakfast foods. That's great.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a lot more powerful because it's the same person. So what we did, you know, when we do the essays, we do them in a blind manner because we just know that this is person number one during period one and person number one during period two. But we don't remember when we're doing the analysis who is who. But at the end, when you finally align them together, one of the things that we saw was that definitely eggs were doing something with inflammatory markers.
Okay, so what were the overall results from these? How many people were in this cohort, did you say?
We had 29 people who 29. Finished the study.
Okay.
They all had diabetes. They all were referred by the same physician, which was easier because the physician had some control on the subjects. And we all made sure that they never changed their medications during the study and they gave us very accurate dietary records, so they did not change their diet, and they also provided exercise records, and they did not change their exercise. So when you have a small number of people and they are coming from the same physician, it's very easy to control.
And they had this either egg or oatmeal first meal for breakfast, right?
Yeah, it was the first meal. It was for breakfast. And one of the things we did, we advised them, and we hope that they followed our advice, not to eat the eggs with bacon or, you know, because then you introduce
other fats, yeah.
No, yeah. To the study. So what they were doing, they were eating the egg mostly scrambled with onions and tomato, which is a very, it's a way that, because this study wasn't in Mexico. So this is a way that people eat eggs in Mexico too. So
okay,
that's what they were eating. And we measured the breakfast caloric wise, because they were eating the eggs with tortillas and they were eating the oatmeal with milk.
Right.
And so we measured them. They were eating the same amount of calories because, you know, calories can also make an effect.
Yes. So what were your findings?
Well, our findings and the ones that I was really more interested about is what happens to cholesterol, triglycerides, and glucose, which are three parameters that are so important for people with diabetes. And so, first of all, cholesterol didn't change at all. I mean, it was the same.
Right.
During both periods, triglycerides didn't change and glucose didn't change. And we also measured glycosylated hemoglobin because it's a marker, you know, of more extended what you eat during several weeks, how is your body responding to glucose metabolism, and it didn't change. And the only thing that changed were liver enzymes. One of the liver enzymes was decreased during the egg period, and the inflammatory markers TNF-alpha and IL-6.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so that was reduced in the individuals eating the egg.
They were eating the egg.
But did it go? Did it elevate or no change when they ate oatmeal?
Well, we are comparing the end of each period. So you compare how does it look when they eat eggs versus how does it look when they eat oatmeal. I would not say that the oatmeal raised them because there's no reason for the oatmeal to raise them. I would say that the eggs decreased them.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I want to take a break. When we come back, I've got a couple questions. We're talking with Dr. Maria Fernandez right now. We're talking about an egg a day for breakfast or oatmeal, a bowl of oatmeal a day for breakfast. Which one improves inflammatory response and cardiometabolic risk factors in diabetic patients? Interesting discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you want to stay tuned, the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about forensic analysis of microbial interactions between humans and their environment. More specifically, the things that you come in contact with and the types of microbes that you pick up and carry around with you. Right now we're talking with Dr. Maria Fernandez. We're talking about egg versus oatmeal, which improves inflammatory response and reduces cardiometabolic risk factors in diabetic patients. Dr. Fernandez, do you think that any of this would change if the quantity of eggs consumed was increased? Like personally, on an average day, I eat between 8 and 12 eggs a day.
Yeah, you know, you are bringing up a very good point. When we did the study design, we wanted to give them to eggs per day, but there was so much press out there saying that eggs are not good for diabetic people because it raises their glucose, it raises their LDL cholesterol, that we, just to play it safe, we gave them one egg per day, and they didn't like it. They wanted to eat two, especially the men. But we said we're going to give you one because we want to make sure that nothing bad happens. So I really would like to repeat the study with more eggs.
Why would eggs increase glucose? There's no sugar in
them. Yeah, I know. There is not a clinical study per se, but there is some epidemiological evidence that people might raise their glucose or people who have diabetes might raise their glucose when they consume eggs. But it's epidemiological data.
Yeah, but you and I both know that epidemiological data is supposed to be designed to kind of get you on the map, but it's nothing to base an assumption from. If epidemiological data was accurate, in the words of a good friend of the show, Dr. Lauren Cordain, fire trucks would be responsible for causing fires because every time there's a fire, there's fire trucks around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, epidemiological data must give you an idea, but it's not... But again, it's when you're trying to design a study and you want to make sure that it's approved for human protection and that kind of stuff, you want to start slowly and then prove your point, and maybe then you can go higher. But yeah, somebody asked me the same question: why one egg per day? It's a small amount, especially for men.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to repeat the study with probably, you know, 12 to 14 eggs per week and see if the outcome is I'm sure that the outcome will be the same, but you need to do it, right?
Just yeah, no, I absolutely. It. I mean, because there's a lot of people out there eating. Now, I have to also think that, well, maybe I'm wrong. The quality of the egg may make a difference as well. I don't know. You know, I've got this theory that what you feed the hens has a way of getting into the eggs. And so hens that are quote-unquote vegetarian fed, meaning they're eating grain and soy and cornmeal, which is not something that hens would normally eat if they were allowed to roam free. They eat worms and little pebbles and their own poop and bugs and stuff like that. So, you know, I have to feel that that also influences what an egg does from a metabolomic standpoint when it's digested and metabolized. Than eggs that are produced by pastured hens that live a life of what a chicken is supposed to live. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're right, because actually, specifically the content of lutein is just something. It depends on what the hens are eating. But I want to mention something about the eggs. The eggs are not an extraordinary source of these antioxidants, but they are present in a way that you can absorb them better. And even though broccoli or other green vegetables are very good sources of these antioxidants, because they contain fiber and they are not in lipids, you need to have lipids to absorb them. And these carotenoids in the egg are already in the yolk where the lipids are, so they are very easily absorbed. And this is why, you know, we have such a good outcome with the eggs. But going back to your thing about, I think that what the hens are fed, it must impact quite whatever it turns out in the egg, but the basic components of the egg are going to still be there.
Right. No, absolutely. Was there anything that really, really surprised you that you, when you saw this data, you said to yourself, wow, I did not expect that?
Yeah, well, actually, the effect of the antioxidants, I was expecting it, because we have seen it in obese people and in people with metabolic syndrome. And so I just was hoping that people with diabetes will have the same response. The only thing that surprised me was that eggs raise HDL, the good cholesterol, and they didn't with the people with diabetes. They didn't raise the LDL either, so it's fine. But normally we have people raising their HDL. So maybe it's because they were eating only just one egg per day. Maybe if they eat two, we will be able to see their raising HDL.
Right.
And the raising HDL is important, because people with diabetes normally have very low HDL.
Yeah, that's a good point. There may be some hepatic landscape changes that occur in the diabetic model too. We know that people we know that people who have type 2 diabetes tend to have lipid metabolic issues in the liver. They tend to develop fatty liver faster. So maybe more receptors for HDL pulling it out. We don't know, but you're right. I just think that one egg is a good place to start. But I really think personally, the average person who will go and have breakfast at a restaurant,
they eat two or three.
Three egg omelet, eggs, you know. I think three eggs 4 or 5 times a week should be the standard, so that we can say, look, we looked at realistic levels of egg consumption as opposed to doing another study and then going, well, now we should try more eggs because people like to eat more than that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point to do. And another important characteristic of this population that we use, they were under the control of a physician, which is good, because sometimes you get people just who have diabetes that they really do not go to the physician, They know they have it, but they really don't take care of it. So these people were people who were under the supervision of a physician, which makes it, it makes it a very important population, but you cannot extrapolate the results to those people who have uncontrolled diabetes.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what could happen in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because medication that they're taking and the things that they're doing are designed to mitigate some of the negative effects of having type 2 diabetes. So we really don't know in a population of people that... And there's a lot of people out there, some who appear to be normal weight, who are insulin resistant because they have very little lean body mass and walk around for decades undiagnosed, either as pre-diabetics or full-blown diabetics.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Actually, one time we did a study in one of the subjects had very high glucose a long time ago. We told him, he went to the physician and he had diabetes and he didn't know. You know, sometimes you don't have any idea what's going on until you check.
Well, and that you know what? We've been talking on this show for one of the earliest shows I did almost 10 years ago was that everyone should own a glucometer. You check the oil in your car. And if we know that, you know, type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance is rampant in the world, then everyone should own a glucometer. And there's no excuse. You can buy a glucometer for $9.95 at Walgreens. It includes 10 test strips. Now, if you want to buy the replacement test strips for that particular glucometer, that's where they get you. It's really expensive. But so you use it 10 times and you throw it away and buy a new one with new test strips. It's cheaper. But everybody should be checking their blood sugar level at least once every couple months if you suspect that you're not living the right kind of lifestyle and you may end up with...
Or you're gaining weight or something, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is the simplest thing to check. And, you know, the number one killer in the world, they say, is heart disease. But let's be honest, it's heart disease which happens to be a byproduct or a complication of insulin resistance.
Yes. Exactly. That's how a lot of diabetic people die.
Yeah.
Heart attack.
Yeah, and they don't say they died of diabetes. They said they died of a heart attack.
Oh, heart attack. This is why, for me, it was so important in this particular study to check the lipids, because I wanted to make sure that eggs were not causing any problem, like raising the LDL or the triglycerides. That was the main thing. And it didn't. They didn't at all.
Great research. More people should be eating eggs. I've said this all along. We talk about eating eggs on this show all the time. I am not afraid of eggs. And every time I get my blood work done, my cholesterol is beautiful. I like my cholesterol I like my cholesterol to be around 180 to 200, and it always is. My HDL is always well above 45 or 50. And I eat a dozen eggs. I mean, I'm fasting right now the next 3 days. but I eat a dozen eggs a day.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
I eat a half a dozen eggs twice a day. Eggs are the best portable protein in the world. You hard boil them, you peel them, you put them in a plastic bag, you take them wherever you go.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it would be interesting to do a study with you because it seems like eggs don't do anything for you. They don't even raise your cholesterol, huh?
Well, but don't forget, now I live a different lifestyle. I get to sleep at 9 o'clock at night. I exercise 5 to 6 days a week. So there's more to it than just that.
Still, you're an interesting subject.
Well, I can be in Connecticut anytime you want me, Dr. Fernandez.
Okay.
Sure. Listen, thanks for being on the show today, okay?
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, take care. So there you have it. Don't be afraid of eggs. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the microbes that live with you. We'll be right back.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, we talk a lot about the microbes that inhabit us. Not enough of a discussion is talked about the microbes that we encounter in our day-to-day lives, which obviously influence a lot. And so the discussion now turns to a forensic analysis of the microbial interaction between humans and their environment with Dr. Jack Gilbert. How are you doing, Dr. Gilbert?
Very well, thank you.
So what questions were you trying to answer with this study, Dr. Gilbert?
So, you know, we all have a lot of bacteria in us and on us. And we were interested in trying to determine if it was possible to track people or track what people were doing in their homes, in their offices, in cities by examining the kinds of bacteria that they shed when they were moving around and the kinds of bacteria they picked up from the floors of their their building or their office space. They're really trying to use the microbes that inhabit us as a forensic tool, like an evidence tool, an evidence-based investigation.
And so this reminds me of that. There's a website where you could track dollar bills. You enter in the serial number of a dollar bill, and then weeks after week, you go and check, and you see where it's turned up. And it's amazing to watch how a dollar bill that may be in Louisville, Kentucky 1 week is in San Francisco a week later. And so this is kind of that same type of tracking to see where people go and if there's some sort of forensic footprint, if you will, a thumbprint, a unique bacteria surrounding them, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you're born mostly sterile, and then you acquire bacteria throughout your life, initially from your mother, and then from the foods you eat, right, and whatever environments you interact with. If you have animals or pets, or if you live in the countryside versus in the city, everything shapes your microbiome, and no two people can have exactly the same microbial community living inside them. That means no two people have the same complement of species of bacteria. You know, we all have about 500 to 1,000 species of bacteria living in us, and there's about 100 trillion cells, and there's only about 20 or 30 trillion human cells. So you've got about 2 to 3 times more bacterial cells in your body than you do human cells. And they weigh around, 3 pounds. So you've got about 3 pounds of bacterial biomass living inside you. And so we're interested in that unique identity we all share in our microbiome. It's like our fingerprint, like our DNA, the bacterial DNA inside us, the genomes of the bacterial species that live inside us. Those are very interesting to us because they have a unique fingerprint that maybe we could track.
So how did you design the study to effectively track the types of microbes people were coming in contact with?
You know, this is an ongoing investigation, right? And the one that we recently published was more like a look-see into what was possible, a proof of principle, if you will. But we've been, for the last 2 years, we've been investigating how the bacteria that live inside our body, how they are deposited in our homes, in our offices, in our hospitals, and what kind of signature we can glean from those microbes that are left behind. I mean, for example, we know quite explicitly that the kinds of bacteria that we find living in our homes are identifiable to us. So you know, each member of your family has a unique microbial profile. And so what we went into people's homes, we explicitly looked at how quickly that microbial profile from those people was picked up by the home, and this is fascinating to me. So like within an hour or two of a family moving into a new house, the microbiome, the bacteria that were found inside that house, were indistinguishable from the bacteria in their previous abode. And this even happens in a hotel room. So you move into your hotel room, and within a couple of hours of inhabiting that hotel room, the bacterial communities we find on the floor, on the walls, on the phone, on the TV control.
Yeah, that's the nastiest one of all, by the way, the remote control.
You think it is, but it's not.
Really?
This is what's remarkable. The bacteria we find on the remote control within an hour of you being there are exactly the same as the bacteria we'd find on remote control in your house. Your microbial signature eradicates any previous signature very quickly. We've done a study in restrooms as well, and I often was concerned about public restrooms,
right.
Most people are. But actually, there's very little to be concerned about. Unless there's an outbreak of some virulent disease in the area, the microbiome of the restroom environment is actually no different to your kitchen or various other places around your home. And most of the bacteria that we find there are not exactly threatening. Unless you were suffering from severe immunocompromisation. So, you were immunocompromised and very sick, in which case you probably shouldn't be going to a public restroom. But if you're healthy, then you have really nothing to fear from the bacteria living inside those spaces.
You know, it's really funny. Penn and Teller, the comedy magician routine, used to do a show on HBO about 8 or 9 years ago, I remember watching it. I don't think it's still on the air. But they actually went to various public restrooms and swabbed the toilet seats and then swabbed other areas of the restroom and came away saying that the toilet seats were actually the cleanest surfaces found in public restrooms, not the filthiest as people would think they would be. So it's really interesting. I also find it interesting that just the way we bring our clothes into a hotel room and maybe even bring our own pillow, we bring our own microbes, and they just kind of they spread out just like we do in that room, huh?
Yeah, they nestle in. They call it home. I mean, how many of our own bacteria survive in these environments is what we're working on right now. But, you know, we've even gone into gyms, right? So, you know, we have a paper coming out very soon where we looked at the bacteria that lived in athletic facilities. So, you know, people doing weightlifting or people running on their jogging machines and what have you. And we wanted to understand what kind of bacteria people shed when they were undergoing this kind of physical activity. And, you know, people have looked at sporting events before, such as roller derby, with Jessica Green at the University of Oregon, and seeing that you have microbial transfer when you're in a competitive sporting environment, right? So you pick up more bacteria from your teammates than you do from the opposite team. But in a gym, we see that, you know, you shed lots of different types of microbes into that environment. But it really helps us to define what we mean by clean. You know, so over 100 years, we've been bombarded by advertisements which tell us we need to sterilize and clean and destroy the bacteria in the environment. And that's because, you know, 100 years ago, most of the bacteria that you found in the environment, well, not most of the bacteria, but there were a lot of dangerous pathogenic bacteria living in the environment because we had in our society a lot of dangerous pathogens spreading in our population. You know, tuberculosis, for example,
right,
and you know, plague. We saw these bacteria quite frequently in our environment. So, yeah, made sense. Kill them all. Sterilize the environment as much as possible. But we may have gone too far.
Yeah,
you know,
we have.
We're so sterile now, it's almost as if we're suffering from a paucity of the right kinds of microbes.
Well, you know, and that's how everything happens in what we have the ability to affect. I look at every area that humans affect as kind of a pendulum, where we learn something and we push really hard to one side. And then we find out that that didn't work. So then we push really hard to the other side. And over decades, we end up finding the middle, you know, and we need to learn not to overreact. So we discovered microbes. We thought we vanquished them all because they've all got to be bad. And now we're finding out that the large majority of them are good. So you mentioned dangerous microbes. I'm not talking about people with compromised immune system. Maybe they're on rapamycin because of a kidney transplant or something, but people with just normal immune function. There are some microbes out there that are quote unquote dangerous, but by and large, did you find many of those in the subjects that you were testing?
No, you know, we've gone around virtually the entire city of Chicago trying to find the telltale signs of particularly dangerous organisms, and we've never found anything that would be considered dangerous. This is, you know, it's interesting, right? So, you know, yeah, if you have a healthy functioning immune system, but you somehow come into contact with tuberculosis, so Mycobacterium tuberculosi, that bug, that particular bacteria, is very dangerous because it's evolved a mechanism to use your immune system against you. And one of the first things it does is it activates your immune system to pump antimicrobial compounds into your gut, right? So it takes over your immune system and uses it to kill off the rest of the bacteria living inside your body. And then it frees up a load of real estate inside your body, so it takes over very rapidly and you get sick. It's a, you know, it's an amazing evolutionary advancement. It's a bacteria that's learned to use the one primary, you know, secondary defense system that we have against us. But most bacteria actually interact with that immune system in a benign way. In fact, the immune system, the secondary reason we have an immune system is the immune system actually actively seems to acquire and retain the good kinds of bacteria uh-huh. that we find in our environment. So, you know, if you want a healthy immune system, you know, part of your healthy immune system is a healthy microbiome. You know, that's your primary role of defense. And the dangerous bugs out there know that. They've evolved mechanisms to kill off your microbiome in a very efficient manner, using your immune system against you. We're really starting to understand that the whole system is immensely more complex than we ever conceived of, and that we may have been missing a real trick in understanding the bacteria in our body as a part of our defense system.
Well, we depend on it, and it depends on us. And anytime we've talked about the microbes that we encounter and that inhabit us, I've always thought back at that Tim Burton movie, Nightmare Before Christmas, where someone pulls the thread on the boogeyman's jacket, and all the bugs and worms and creepy crawlies they run, and there is no boogeyman after they're gone. He was alive because all of those bugs inhabited him, and they gave him form, shape, and movement. And I've started to wonder if just to what degree our microbes have influenced our evolutionary trajectory as well. We have to take a break. I want to come back and I want to talk about this particular study in greater detail about looking at cell phones and shoes and what they pick up from the environment. It's going to be a really good discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Jack Gilbert.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Jack Gilbert. We're talking about the microbes in our environment. Dr. Gilbert and colleagues looked at the forensically what we're exposed to. So you looked at cell phones and shoes, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, this makes sense. You know, your cell phone is constantly either in your hands or on the side of your face. If you're an addict like me, it's one of the first things you touch in the morning, and one of the first things you put down at night.
Well, and more, and one of the things that we've talked about openly on this show is the number of people who are texting, posting on Facebook or someplace while they're sitting on the potty.
Yes, and it's an interesting thing, you know. Like, if you're healthy and you're gastrointestinally healthy, then it's very unlikely that any of the bacteria inside your feces are going to actually affect your health in any way. And we constantly have this argument at home. Should the kids wash their hands? Well, sure, it's socially acceptable to wash your hands, but realistically, unless you want to get rid of any fecal matter, but the bacteria in your poop generally aren't that bad unless you're sick.
So what did you find? How many individuals did you follow?
We followed, we actually looked at biogeographically across the whole country. We looked at some 200, 300 people, but we followed two people specifically every hour for 48 hours, so for 2 days. It must have been a little bit awkward because these people were tasked with wherever they were on the hour, they had to lean down, swab multiple locations on the sole of their shoe. With a little cotton swabs, and then also swab the floor. And so they're walking around the city, and suddenly they bring out kits, and they start swabbing their shoes and their floor and their phone. So they must have looked a little bit strange, but it helped us to understand the degree to which the bacteria we find on the sole of your shoe is indicative of where you've been walking. And the cell phone almost acts as a control system, because it's not much in contact with the rest of the environment, but your hands are. And we can see sometimes that the microbiome from your hand is changing, and therefore it changes what microbiome we find on the surface of your phone. And the whole, we didn't find any pathogens. Again, it's an entirely benign environment. These are just human-associated bacteria, which seem associated with two healthy people.
So the reality is that these things that we swab with antimicrobials and God knows what else to try to kill bacteria, we're really not... We don't need to.
No, I've never seen a situation. I mean, this is one of the problems with overzealous reporting of bacteria. You'll often see, on a news show or on the radio or, here on the radio or in the newspaper or on the web, you'll see an article which says, the dirtiest places in your home, where to find the most bacteria, or we swapped people's phones and we found, human disease-causing organisms. And if you look into the research behind those studies, they didn't. It's misreporting. It's misannotation. It's a totally inappropriate use of the technology. You have to be very careful when you understand, when you look into these things. If I swab your phone right now, and I put it on and I try to grow those bacteria, I could grow up bacteria which are commonly associated with human skin. One of them is Staphylococcus epidermis, which doesn't cause disease. But if the same bug will look identical to a normal microbiologist, It will look very similar to a bug called Staphylococcus aureus, right. Which is, you know, can be methicillin resistant. That's MRSA, right?
Right.
So when they look at it, they go, oh, look, you know, there's a bacteria which could be MRSA on your phone. It's incredibly unlikely that it is. And even if it was, it's incredibly unlikely it would make you sick unless you were, you know, severely immune compromised, and we can go through all of the caveats, right?
Right, right. You have an open wound. You have to have an open wound that's in the same proximity as where you're pressing it against. I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's just amazing. I know.
It's an incredibly rare occurrence, a one in a million chance. You're more likely to be run over when you're walking across the street by a random car than you would be to catch that disease. But yeah, you know, I would never sterilize the surface of my phone. It would be a waste of time, money, and effort. Unless you've been preparing chicken raw chicken on your kitchen surface, there's probably no reason to sterilize that. We are only just starting to understand the balance between over sterilization of these kinds of environments and health promoting benefits of the raw bacterial mass in that environment. And we're not at a stage yet where we can give solid advice as to what to do, but it's calling into question this entire ethos that we've grown up with, you know, this ideology that, you know, to kill all is the best strategy.
Well, and it's funny, there was a study published probably in the past couple months that I happened to be reading. We may have mentioned it on the show. I don't think we actually had the author or any of the authors on the show, as I recall. But it showed that children who live in homes where they wash dishes by hand tend to have more robust immune systems than children who live in homes where they wash dishes in a dishwasher on the sanitary high temperature cycle. And, you know, when you think about this, it's like something as innocuous and underestimated as the daily sterilization of utensils and dishes versus the microbes that live on those dishes when you just kind of, you know, give it the once over with a sponge, and who knows what's living in the sponge. And you're maybe, it's not even the matter that you're removing less when you wash by hand, but you may be inserting microbes on the dish by washing by hand, because let's face it, the sponge is a great place for things to grow. But these children have more robust immune systems. We look at the old order Amish. They have more robust immune systems than the general population. They work with animals, and they toil, and they don't use antimicrobials or any of that sort of stuff. And then my own personal experience.
This is actually. Yeah.
Good. I'm sorry. Good.
I was going to say this is absolutely right. I mean, you mentioned before the break about evolution, okay, and you know the role that the microbes in our environment played in the evolution of our bodies. You know, there's no organism ever, no plant, no animal, no fungi that's ever been able to keep bacteria out. It's just technically impossible. So they've evolved mechanisms to deal with the fact that microbes are everywhere, right? The bacteria and viruses, they're going to come in contact with them all the time. And if you remove too many of those microbes from your experience, your immune system over-responds.
Right.
So we see that if you look at the Amish and you look at the Hutterites. You know, the Amish, you're right. You know, the kids are constantly working pretty much from the moment they can go there. I work with an Amish population in Indiana. You know, you'll see very young children working with the animals. You know, they don't really have playthings in the house, so they work. And they have virtually no asthma and virtually no food allergies in the entire population.
Huh.
The Hutterites, on the other hand, the children are not allowed on the farm. Only babies over the age of 14 are allowed on the farm. So when you're in that crucial time frame between the ages of 1 and 5, when your microbiome and your immune system is developing, you don't get the right kind of experience. And the Hutterites have significantly elevated levels of asthma over the U.S. average. The U.S. average is like 8 or 9%. The Hutterites are like 12 to 13%. So they live a very similar lifestyle to the Amish, right?
Except the early introduction of microbes in the children from the farm. That's really what it comes down to, right?
Precisely.
We have to take a break.
Indeed,
Stay with us. We have to take a break. I've got lots more questions. We're talking with Dr. Jack Gilbert. This is going to get interesting. Stay tuned.
Have you try Carbaline yet?
It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Jack Gilbert. We're talking about the microbes that live around us. We really don't have to be afraid of them. There's obviously an overreaction out there to be concerned. Not all of them are pathogens. And there's some interesting anecdotal information out there, too. We were talking about the Old Order Amish. I remember doing a show probably about 2 years ago, Dr. Gilbert, where we had a researcher who published a paper looking at the diversity of the gut microbes in the Old Order Amish. What they found was the men and male children had much more diverse microbes, and the women did not. The level of obesity was higher in women than in the men. And they also found some very, very novel microbes that are associated with young children and health, like L. reuteri, in this population of men. And one of the things, as you point out, is that the men and the young male children, once they're old enough to start doing it, are exposed to animals, animal dander, animal feces, and dirt, and so on, because they're basically an agrarian farming society.
You know, that's actually more complicated. So the, you know, in the population I work with in Indiana, the women and young girls, they all get involved as well. I mean, it's, you know, these are family farms. So the children, the men and the women, they all get up in the morning and they all work with the cows to do, you know, the milking. And they you know, it's usually the man is the husband or the father is the one that goes out and does the work with the animal in the fields. So, you know, I can see that that relationship would be there, but this is why it's complicated. It's very hard just to look at what a microbiome is in a particular population of people and expect to be able to find specific trends which correlate perfectly with a particular trend, you know, like a health or aging or obesity. We really, most of the time, we're very ignorant about, even as scientists nowadays, we're totally ignorant about the mechanisms by which microbes affect these kind of conditions. Case in point, we recently had a paper we just published where we've identified that when you eat a high-fat diet, it causes an increase in the abundance of certain bacteria which love living in a high-fat environment.
Are these two different bacteria, Aedes and Firmicutes, we're talking about as far as the
well, they are, but the bacteria, Aedes and Firmicutes, these are very, very high order annotations. So that's like saying there are mammals and insects in your gut.
Gotcha.
You know?
Okay.
There are literally millions of bacteria, Aedes species, and you know, hundreds of thousands of Firmicutes species. So which ones you have, it really defines the mechanism of action that you're experiencing. This is why such broad level characterizations are very misleading, and often very difficult to provide information to people for. But in this particular study, we show that when you eat that high fat diet, you get an increase in certain bacterial species in your gut, which produce certain metabolites, certain chemicals, which get into your bloodstream, and they affect the circadian rhythm, the day-night perception of your liver.
Wow.
And what they do is they decouple how your liver experiences the day-night cycle compared to your brain. And this causes your body's hormone level regulation to fluctuate, which leads to an increase in weight gain. So, you know, this is a mechanism. You know, bacteria mess up your body clock, right? If your diet induces the bacteria which mess up your body clock. So if we can understand that, if we can track down those particular mechanisms, then we can have some kind of impact upon people. All the while we're just saying this bacteria was found in this group of people and therefore it must be important. We're not really getting down to the brass tacks of what those bacteria are actually doing. It could be that that bacteria is entirely irrelevant, but it's just, it shows a correlation with whatever trend we're looking for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When we talk about bacteria, are we also talking about mold? I know that there's a lot of information that's emerging now since the discussion of the microbes in some mycotoxins and so on.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, our bodies have been fighting fungi and molds and funguses since the dawn of our species and since the dawn of mammals. And we often see that there are bacteria living inside our body which are actively retained by the body. The body's immune system makes sure these bacteria stay around and are protected. These bacteria seem to stop those fungi from germinating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have one of these nasty fungi that infects human beings in your gut, these bacteria can stop those fungi from germinating. This leads to an entire new, you know, potential treatment strategy whereby you improve your microbiome, get those right kinds of bacteria in there, and it can prevent fungal infections. And we need to understand that relationship between bacteria and fungi. interestingly, we need to do it especially on skin. You know, most skin infections are either viruses or fungi, not bacteria. And so if we can understand how the bacteria and fungi interact on the skin, we'll be in a much better place. And I've been working with L'Oreal, the cosmetic industry, to try and explore that, because, you know, they're very interested in how those biological therapies could be used in the future.
This is really an exciting area of science today, because it's kind of like the unknowns of outer space. You know, we think we know, we've got these planets charted and those stars charted, and we know about this, but there is so much vast area that we're just unclear about, that we try to make assumptions about, and we really don't know yet. We're going to learn, obviously, as we go on. There's a lot of things in the environment today that seem to be promoting dysbiosis of the microbes, and even the promotion of the wrong types of funguses. One of them is glyphosate. Glyphosate is Roundup. It's sprayed on most of the commercial non-organic crops today. And of some 160 patents held for glyphosate by the company that patented it, Monsanto, every one of them leads off with the statement that glyphosate is an antimicrobial antibiotic. And that's how it works. It destroys microbes in the soil that these weeds depend on in order to grow. But the genetically modified crops, they're not harmed by it. And one has to wonder if the consumption of glyphosate laced foods isn't causing some of the problems we see with guts today. There's a study that came out not too long ago that showed that while body fat may not be increasing, waist circumference is, because people are developing severely distended stomachs from complete inflammation from anus to esophagus.
Yeah, well, sure. So there is evidence that you have gastrointestinal inflammation, which could be either due to environmental chemical exposure or due to the wrong kinds of microbial dysbiosis leading to autoimmune inflammation. But I can't comment on whether that's leading to a significant increase in waist circumference. I'm not sure about that at all. But it's very interesting to try and understand the role that certain types of chemicals play in the disruption of our microbial existence. I mean, we don't fully understand what many of those chemicals do to our bacteria, because we've done cytological tests. We've taken those chemicals and we've put them on skin or on cell lines from human cells, and we've seen what kind of effect they have upon those cells. But we haven't really ever done that for the types of bacteria that live inside our body. So it's possible that those kind of compounds do have a negative impact upon our body. It's also possible they don't. There's some evidence to suggest that glyphosate, for example, which is has a phosphonate chemical in there, it's a chemical with a carbon and phosphorus bond, which many bacteria can't consume, which causes a disruption in their physiology. But there's a suggestion that affects the diet and the digestion of cows and cattle. And if that proves to be true in cattle, it potentially could be true in humans. Now, there's remains to be seen whether the doses of glyphosate we get are significantly high enough to trigger any negative consequences. And it's quite possible that, glyphosate is just one of many thousands or millions of potential problems in our modern day society. If we think about health concerns, the number of people potentially being affected by chemical exposure is probably significantly lower than the number of people who abuse their bodies with excess fat consumption fats aren't necessarily bad, but excess food consumption.
Processed foods. We did a show not too long ago about the negative effects of synthetic emulsifiers found in a lot of processed foods on certain healthy microbes in the stomach. So you're right. Sure. We're being assaulted from every angle. That's why it's so hard to go, oh, this is the problem, because you can't point at one thing. We're being assaulted on every single level right now, our health in general and the microbes in our body. Let's take our last commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Jack Gilbert. Stay tuned.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net. or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Jack Gilbert. We were talking about the microbes that we encounter in our life. They're not as scary as many would think. And now we're talking about the microbes in general that inhabit our bodies. So for a decade, I've been doing this. As of November, I'll be doing this show for 10 years. And 10 years ago, I started talking about raw foods, raw unpasteurized milk. Even if you know your farmer, you're getting, I mean, I have 2 farmers I do business with. My Mennonite farmer is where I get my milk from. I have another farmer that I get, eggs, chicken, and beef from. I can buy beef that was processed within the past few days. And I will eat raw beef from time to time. Any thoughts on this type of a practice? Not, and I'm not espousing that people do this, because the only way you could do this is if you know that this stuff is how it's been handled and that it's fresh. But any idea on the loss of the introduction of healthy microbes? Because I remember doing a show with Dr. Jack Schmidt back in 2007. He wrote the story, the book, The Untold Story of Milk, where he talked about while milk was being blamed for the spread of tuberculosis, raw unpasteurized milk was protecting children and prisoners in institutions from developing tuberculosis. Any ideas on the reintroduction of these types of more natural foods in the state that they were designed to be in?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated problem. You just pointed that out. You know, we're actually healthier now than we have been in the entire history of the human race. The last 100 years have seen epic transformations of our health. There's a burgeoning community of people out there that want to say we're more unhealthy than we've ever been in our lives. But we only started looking into cancer as a major cause of disease after we'd eradicated most of the major pathogens which were plaguing us, right? So, you know, the tuberculosis of the world, the viruses such as, major pathogenic organisms which were making us sick. Once we got rid of all of those, with major public health works, and then later with controlling them with antibiotics and vaccines, we were significantly able to see all the other conditions that were going on. It may be now that we don't have in our population, we don't have a major abundance of tuberculosis spreading around due to vaccination programs that have eradicated most of those diseases. It may be now that we can start to go back to consuming some of these foods, which may help to promote health in certain situations. We can't go with a lowest common denominator. I mean, to keep up with that, we need to make sure that those diseases don't come back, which means we need to keep up with an appropriate vaccination program. We need to make sure that we're no longer, you know, suffering hundreds of thousands of casualties a year to preventable diseases.
Right.
So it's in a world in which we have controlled those diseases at such a high level, we may be able to start looking back to fermented foods and natural unprocessed foods as a mechanism to reintroduce our microbial experience in a healthy and balanced way.
Last thing I want to cover is something that's pretty exciting right now. I happen to have had firsthand knowledge of it when my mom was in a nursing home before she passed away. And while its original intention is to reverse some of the damning effects of antibiotic resistant issues like C. diff and MRSA, we are now seeing a larger community of people who undergo fecal transplant also getting some surprise effects from it. Everything from lifelong skin disorders disappearing to changes in body fat composition to hair regrowth in individuals who suffered with lifelong alopecia. Do you think that that's going to be part of the next frontier? Are we going to be able to take these microbes from healthy people, perhaps process them in some way and do these, and maybe it isn't even a fecal transplant. Maybe encapsulated.
Probiotic.
What do they call it when it bypasses the gut and gets into the intestine? Isn't it funny? I'm losing. Enterically coated capsule where we deliver these healthy microbes and we kind of reseed the lawn, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is where we hope to be going, right? So a fecal microbiome transplant is like it's a shotgun approach. That's probably a wrong way to call it. But the idea is we don't know what we're transferring. The Chinese did fecal microbiome transplants in 500 BC. I mean, they were pioneering the use of feeding people, healthy fecal material in order to cure gastrointestinal disease. There was a Swiss doctor who did it to Hitler in 1942 in order to try and cure Hitler's gastrointestinal problems, or he was just, you know, feeding the proverbial Hitler. But that kind of strategy has been around for many years. What we're trying to do now is we're trying to figure out, again, as I say, the mechanism of which microbes are important and which ones we can in a controlled way, reintroduced to people. And you're right, you know, it could cure all of those autoimmune conditions that we suffer because our immune system is inappropriately responding. But we need to be also very clear that to prove it, there is none of these things have really been proved in human populations other than the treatment of C. diff infections with fecal microbiome transplant, which is the only one that has a true double-blind trial that proves its efficacy. And to prove it, we need more investment in the kinds of programs of research which help us to show that this actually works. Otherwise, it's hearsay and it's circumstantial. Oh yeah, you know, a guy took a, I know a guy that had a fecal microbiome transplant and his hair started to grow back. So then anybody who has hair loss problems will want a fecal microbiome transplant.
Yeah, and it's not, their hair loss is not always going to be from a dysbiosis of the microbes.
Precisely,
right,
yeah.
Right.
But people, you know, I don't know how to fly a plane, so I don't go up to the pilot and ask them, you know, are you sure you're flying the plane okay? But people, when it comes to their health, they understand their health and they want to understand their health in a much more comprehensive way than I want to understand how to fly a plane. But it's very difficult. We, you know, even the professionals working in this environment are ignorant of the vast array of continuous problems that we have to deal with. You know, these things need a lot of research behind them in order to be able to figure it out. I'm not calling for a renewed investment in this area. What I guess I'm calling for is for people just be very careful about what they do to themselves based on data which or projects or understanding or results that have very little evidence to back them up.
Yeah, but you see what the problem with that is, Dr. Gilbert? So on one hand, I agree with you 1,000% on what you're saying, right? On one hand, yep, we need to be cautious. We need to go lightly, go slowly, because we don't want to do what I said earlier, you know, push the pendulum so hard that we end up in some other realm of problems instead of the objective of finding the middle ground where usually the right answers lie. But then on the other side of, on the other side of the spectrum, we have pharmaceutical companies and food manufacturers who are using little or no scientific evidence at all, other than the FDA says something is generally regarded as safe. And we are consuming large quantities of things that we are only finding out after this uncontrolled population study comes forth that are destroying us.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the probiotic industry, for example, is completely unregulated. And you go into any store and you'll find thousands of, you know, probiotic products out there that do not actually require any evidence of efficacy or any evidence of safety to back them up. I mean, it's a totally and utterly unregulated field.
Right.
What might this consumption of potentially benign microorganisms be doing to a generation of people? We don't know. As well as the regulated problems that we have, there's an entire unregulated field out there that we have to be wary of. I know of one probiotic that has enough data behind it that I would trust taking.
I bet I take it, Dr. Gilbert.
It's possible you do.
Is it called VLS3?
VSL3, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is the only one that I'm aware of that has any backing.
Yeah.
And it's effective. I've used it to treat IBD in my dog, for example, and joint pain in when I was running. I know a friend of mine who cured IBD in his mother using the VSL3. So, I mean, that seems to be a highly efficacious mix, right?
Right.
I don't know of any of the others that have it. And bear in mind, I don't have a conflict of interest with VSL3. I have no relationship with the company or the organization whatsoever.
I've been trying to get them as a sponsor on this show for some 6 years now. I take VSL3, weekly, and I usually take, by prescription dose is 900 billion. The over-the-counter dose is 450 billion. I just take two of the over-the-counters probably three or four times a week with a meal.
Right. I mean, you know, the other point is you need to understand why you're taking it and what benefit it has. We don't have any evidence it has any prophylactic benefit. It might have a benefit in treating a condition, but taking it prophylactically may also be doing something that we have no evidence for.
Right.
So you have to be very careful of these things in terms of if you're not sick, then, you know, don't rock the boat.
Interesting. We've come to the end of the interview. What would you like to sum up this study that you looked at, the shoes and cell phones of individuals forensically? What do you want people to take away from this research?
I mean, for me, it's the comprehension of our unique microbial identity and the potential power of that for not only forensic research in terms of our ability to help investigators track people and individuals as they move through spaces, criminals, what have you, but also the individuality of our microbiome in terms of our human health, the necessity to express the unique microbial experience alongside our unique genome in personalized medicine choices so that we can all be treated as an individual and not as a lowest common denominator.
I love it. Dr. Gilbert, thanks for being on the show today. Great discussion.
Take care.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, so there you have it. Also want to thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour, Science for Humans. Learn more about All American Pharmaceuticals products by going and checking one of the All American EFX Sports banners on superhumanradio.com. And then, of course, Dr. Maria Fernandez for discussing that the eggs aren't bad. In fact, they have a anti-inflammatory response as compared to oatmeal. I have oatmeal with my eggs, so I guess I'm doing okay. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Super Human Radio. Thank you for listening today.